Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com.
Now you can
here
talk.
Are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
I say now you can talk at the one moment you can't.
Can't talk, right?
Oh, boy.
For once, you turn the microphones on too early. Sometimes you don't turn them on at all. And I enjoy sitting here watching you talk into the microphone that's not on and thinking you're talking to everybody out there in radio land. That's just one of those senior moments you have from time to time.
What was your name again?
Al. Frenori.
Al Frenori. Oh, yes. Well, at least you're a good Catholic, Al. We appreciate that. That's the upside. You go up there for the real blood. So my lovely bride says, some days she goes up for the blood, and sometimes she does not go up for the blood. So it just depends.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, you know, it just depends on where you are in the line. Common cups are wonderful. Do you have common cup at all churches?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So that's a right. Well, that's wonderful. That's a good thing to have. We do have one of our emails relates to communion. Another one relates to Methodists and gay clergy. So we'll read those on the radio. And we would just love to hear from you on any other topic. We have an open phone today. We can chit-chat a little bit about South Korea. Media is kind of reporting that the president bolted out of South Korea in a hurry, and maybe talks broke off. I'm not quite sure what the right...
Oh, I can tell you what happened.
Okay, well, Joe knows, so we can talk about that. Attorney Cohen was on the witness stand yesterday, so...
That paragon of virtue, as the Democrats now believe him to be.
Well, yes, and so... but, you know, he said, well, the president is a con man and a racist. And all. None of those prevent you from being president. In fact, those are the very thing that endured most Republicans to him, that he's all of those things.
We've got more than one con man as president.
Excellent point. Excellent point. So, yeah, none of those really are impeachable offenses. Now, they do say that he's being investigated for crimes, so we'll see how that pans out. But we have open phones today. We'll talk about the topic of your selection. Call us now and tell us what you'd like to discuss, and we'll dwell on that for a short time. You can email us and let us know what you'd like to discuss, and you can text us, and here's how you do all of that. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. We invite you to patronize our hometown pharmacies. You're doing a favor for your whole hometown when you do so. Remember, they support other hometown businesses, and maybe they support your business. Maybe you're a business person, and individuals at the hometown pharmacies take that dollar that you provide for them, and they go up the street to the other hometown businesses, whether it's the hometown tire shop or the car dealer or whatever it happens to be. Walking distance, the buzzword for all these hometown businesses, even the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. You can walk around there and get to a couple of different places where you can spend your money locally and
benefit.
What
about your hometown Walmart?
That's not the opposite.
Okay.
That is the polar opposite of a hometown
pharmacy.
They're
going to send it to China.
Right. That's what they do with your dollar. Well, it's nothing wrong with that if you like shopping there. You can stretch your dollar and have other individuals pay the real cost of your goods at the local Walmart store. But anyway, back to the hometown. You brought it up, buddy.
All right,
you don't
going.
Want the speech.
No, keep rolling. Keep rolling.
Terry out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Tyler at Trutz, Steve at Norrie, Jennifer at Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Very proud that you would help them to help everybody's local hometown. Throughout our show, you are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message. You can sign up for new ones at wkok.com.
Did you watch any of the president's ex-attorney's testimony yesterday?
No, I did not watch any of it, but I saw extensive news coverage last night.
I watched it for a time, and I find it it interesting. I mean, he is convicted of lying to Congress, and so he's back before Congress, and he's swearing to tell the truth. I believe the Democrats are more than willing to believe him and what he said, and the Republicans somewhat less likely to believe him, actually a whole lot less likely to believe him, because he has lied in the past. Apparently, he's claiming now he wants to get some sort of redemption for his past sins by coming clean with everything.
Right. He wants to walk away having disclosed everything people want to hear.
Well, okay. So the man has testified before under oath where he swore to tell the truth, and he lied. So how much credence is it reasonable to give a man like that as the second time around? If you want to believe him politically, as apparently the Democrats do, then I think you can certainly accord him all the wisdom and truth and veracity that there is in the world. But, you know, I would be at least somewhat skeptical if I were them or even a Republican over the fact that the man had testified before untruthfully. So how do I know unless I give him a lie detector test, and then I'm not even sure. I think if they were going to take his testimony yesterday, that's how it should have been done, with a lie detector attached to him.
A polygraph.
And
sure,
as he asked the questions, immediately when he gave the answer, they told you whether he was lying or not.
Instead of just a mild manner polygrapher monitoring the machine, you need to have a loud game show buzzer.
Buzzer, right. And that would be great. Shock him, you know. Put electrical charge in the seat. Every time he lies, you press the button and he gets a little jolt.
Oh, okay.
And each time it gets a little stronger.
Oh, okay. And each time he tells the truth, he gets an M&M.
No, each time he gets the truth, we back off.
Oh, you reduce the charge a little bit. Okay.
Right.
So his goal would be to come out with something short of electroshock therapy.
So when he's done, if he can still sit down,
he's in. All right.
But seriously, I mean, how much credence do you give somebody like that?
Well, I think, you know, it's like every other criminal investigation. You come up with witnesses, some of whom have a tainted past, and so what they say, it doesn't become direct evidence, but it becomes a form of evidence. But none of it can be sort of viewed as incontrovertible truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I think you're wise to be skeptical, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat there. So it becomes more evident. Now we have somebody who's willing to voice what others have in the past, that, you know, the president is all these nasty adjectives. But as I said, none of those things prevent you from being president. A lot of those things endeared him to the Republicans who voted for him. And so that's their prerogative. I noticed that when the Republicans were asking him questions, at least in the news coverage, now again, I didn't watch the whole thing, you know, like he would say, well, the president is a con man. And, you know, the Republicans would say, well, you're a con man, you know, or what's wrong with you? Your credibility is terrible. You lied to us before. Never once saying, oh, no, the president's not a con man. They never once defended the president.
Well, you're right. Someone did bring up that point that none of the Republicans actually defended the president on the issues
he
raised.
They just attack Cohen.
Just attack Cohen for his veracity. But if you stop and think about it, why would you defend the president if you believe he's lying about him? You know, if you're saying that, to me, it's entirely consistent
right,
to say,
I guess that makes
I believe
sense.
You're lying, and so I'm not going to give any credence to what you say. I'm going to focus on the fact that you lied before, and you're probably lying again.
Well, and like I said, I think the Republicans know, you know, they know who the president really is. They probably know him better than we are. So they know he's a liar, a conman, and a racist. We all know all that. It's a perfect soundbite, but it's not a revelation.
Liar, maybe. Conman, probably. Racist? I still am not sure about that.
Everybody
goes back to everything he said during the campaign. You know, the fact that he's done
so many
things.
Cohen had
a
couple of add-ons yesterday about black people.
Right, that he spoke terribly about them, but, you know, he didn't give examples, did he?
He said blacks are too stupid to vote for him. That's why blacks wouldn't vote for him, because they're too stupid. And something else about blacks. I forget what it was, but specifically about blacks. Of course, derogatory and terrible and untrue and awful things to say.
Well, if I say, you know, some group that didn't vote for me in an election was stupid, does that make me a racist? If my implication is that I would have been really good for
them.
I would have been good for them. I would have done things for them. Is it wrong to say, well, I think they were stupid for not voting for me?
Well, members of the Blonky Party won't vote for Joe because they're stupid. Well, are they not then if Joe would actually be the best Blonky Party president they ever had?
I'm not certain what Blonky
Party
you're talking
about. That's an odd argument to have, but I guess you could say that's possible.
Well, I'm not saying that he didn't speak derogatorily just generally, but I mean, I can understand the context. And one of the things that Cohen said that did sound somewhat plausible to me was that Trump never expected to win, and that he lied about the ongoing building of a condo or whatever it is in Russia because he was trying to keep his business going, and he didn't think he was going to win, and he needed to get that deal done. So he lied about it. But who did he lie to about it? Let's say that's the truth, that Cohen spoke truthfully there. What's the downside of that? The fact that he was trying to preserve his business when he, at the moment, he had no reason not to? That's like saying the Hillary Clinton couldn't practice law because she was running for president.
Campaign law violation, I believe, is somewhere involved in there related to Russia.
Okay.
Not disclosing that you have significant Russian interests that are ongoing while you're campaigning.
So if this is a law that specifically requires you to disclose Russian
ties?
That's
where campaign laws pop up. I'm not specifically sure what the exact violation might be. But again, like I said, Democrats think these are all, further proof of overall unworthiness for office. Republicans say these are the things that endear us to him. The fact that he bends the rules and is so assertive and outgoing and verbose. There's some of his descriptions of other individuals that some Republicans don't like, yourself included,
but for
the most part. Let's suppose the president of the U.S. is a con man, liar, and racist. So what? We've had con men, liars, and racists in the White House in the past.
We certainly have, and that doesn't mean they've acted on those things.
It doesn't seem to end the Republic. It certainly doesn't necessarily benefit everyone in the Republic.
Well, Tom's on the phone. Let's see what he has to say.
1-800-795-9565. Join Joe and I. We're just discussing in passing the Cohen attorney, Michael Cohen, testimony from yesterday. We'll take your call, too. 1-800-795-9565. Tom, thanks for calling in.
The headlines on the New York Times, they showed it. It had a picture of the check, and it said, checkmate. Which I think that's what it is.
What check, Tom?
That was signed by Mr. Trump. It was written, and it was when he was in office. It was 8/1/17 for $35,000. They showed that one.
To Stormy Daniels?
And they also showed a check for $35,000 that was signed by Trump Jr. out of the Trump, whatever it is, their bank account.
Well, to whom, Tom, and why is this wrong?
Mr. Cohen went into great detail to explain how that deal was worked out, why the checks were broken down
Tom,
into $35,000.
What deal are you talking about?
Why they formed this limited liability corporation.
I can't hear you.
And this stuff is all on tape. They have this on the tape that they got out of Cohen's office.
So I don't
see any defense for that. I don't see how you can possibly talk your way out of that. I mean, they got the evidence on him. I mean, it's undisputable.
Tom, what are you talking about? I mean, you're talking about checks, but you didn't say to whom and for what.
It was a check that Donald Trump wrote to Michael Cohen.
All right, for what? He was his attorney.
Yeah. Michael Cohen went into great detail to explain why these checks were broken down into $35,000 increments, and why they formed a limited liability corporation, which they have on tape of. It was one of the tapes that they got when they raided Cohen's office. They know that he paid him off, and it was a check that was written. I mean, you weren't watching very good. You weren't paying attention, because this check was written the last payment, was written 8/2017 when he was president. So he was paying off Cohen, yet there was 12 payments. That was the last payment. And he can produce all the checks. He can produce all checks for $12,000, for $35,000. I mean, it's an open and shut case. There's no defense for it.
Well, didn't President Trump already admit that he reimbursed Cohen for the Stormy Daniels payments out of his own pocket? I think that's not big news.
After he lied about it about 100 times, and then he finally got caught.
Okay, so
he didn't actually do it. Rudy Giuliani said he did it, paid him back.
Who did he lie to?
Who lied to?
Who did the president lie to?
The media and American people.
He lied to everybody. He lied to the media. He lied to everybody about it.
Okay, but if I say to you,
he didn't even know these people.
So Tom, if I say to you, today's Friday, I'm lying to you, but how are you hurt? How have I offended anybody by doing it? I've just told a lie.
This was to keep this a secret, So it wouldn't get out when he was running for the president.
You're talking Stormy
Daniels?
That was
the reason. It was hush money.
Okay.
And that is illegal. That is illegal under the election laws.
So it's illegal.
That's the reason why it was done. It wasn't done because just in the normal thing of business. Why would you want to keep it a secret? Why would you want to break this up into $35,000 payments? Why don't you just pay the $130,000 and get it over with?
Well, if
it
you're
was done, I mean, they got him. They got this guy on this thing, and he can't get out of it. You can say whatever you want to say, Joe, but if you better go back and watch the hearing over again, because they have displayed two checks. For $35,000, one by Donald Trump,
okay.
One by
you've
Eric
said that,
Trump.
But who are these checks? What were they for? What was the final payment for?
They
was
were to
it
pay off. Storm? They were to pay off Cohen.
For what?
Cohen.
Pay him
Cohen
off for what?
Cohen took out a second mortgage on his home of $130,000 to pay this porn star. Now you
okay.
Do you think that he doesn't expect to be paid back?
Okay,
that
so that was my question, Tom. That
took out a second mortgage on his home to pay this porn star off, and he never expected to be paid back?
All right, we got to take a break. Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay.
Really appreciate the call. Keep listening.
My question, of course, was why, you know, what was he paying off? And Tom didn't make that clear. I wasn't trying to interrupt him. I was just trying to make it sure that everybody knew exactly what he was talking about.
You obviously didn't watch every minute of the testimony yesterday.
No, I didn't watch every minute.
You would know that. All right. We'll be stand by, Eric. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark and Joe are arguing here. Eric has joined us. Thank you, sir. Thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my call. So, a full disclosure, I am not a veteran myself, but I do belong to the Sons of the American Legion here in Sealands Grove. But does anyone else find it very, very ironic that the president is meeting with a small country, communist country, in the country that last really did us the most harm or the most, violated the peace treaty we had developed? Does anyone else find it ironic that this whole process is occurring in Hanoi, for heaven's sakes? I found it very chilling yesterday to look on the TV and see the American flag pasted right up with the North Korean flag. A country we are still essentially at war with because we have never signed a peace treaty. But to have that negotiation occur in Hanoi, to me, is a direct slap in the face to the 54,000 Americans who were killed during the Vietnam War and to every Vietnam vet who served over there and risked his life to try to keep that as a free country, a democratic country, which, if you study history, you realize that we had the peace talks ended in, I believe, January 1973, and within a month they were fighting again. Of course, 2 years later, after violating the peace accords, took over the country and has become communist ever since.
But you remember, during the time, there was all the talk about the domino theory. If we let North Vietnam conquer South Vietnam, the rest of Asia will go. That hasn't exactly happened.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, my point, Joe, is this. I find it offensive, and I welcome all Vietnam vets to call in to see if they also feel a slap in the face, that our president has chosen to have this negotiation in Hanoi. And if it wasn't our choice and it was this toady from North Korea saying, I'll only meet you there, then isn't the tail wagging the dog So either it was a poor choice by the president and his team, or it's a tail wagging the dog and North Koreans dictating to us what they will not do. Remembering, of course, that he did fly down to Indonesia, a neutral country, for the first negotiations. So it's not like he won't travel. So, again, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I don't have as big a problem with it as you do. I mean, I didn't like the Vietnam War. I thought there were a lot of people like Jane Fonda who really betrayed this country. But I don't consider the president as having done that, because we have arrived at peace with North Vietnam, and we now have friendly relations with them, and we trade with them. They're trading partners. So, I mean, it's not as bad as it was. I don't think we can stay at war with them forever or hold their feet to the fire forever.
We're friends with Germany. We're friends with Japan.
Japan, right. We've forgiven all those countries, and Japan certainly did more to us than North Vietnam.
After the wars are over, we sort of become the bigger person in the argument and start to embrace the potential for progress and good future leadership wherever we are, and, you know, good trading prospects and good neighbors and that sort of thing.
What I will refute in that is the peace treaty we signed with Japan, with Germany, were upheld, okay? What the peace treaty we signed with North Vietnam was totally violated. They played us, and as we were withdrawing, they were continuing to fight. And, of course, at that time, because of the whole Nixon debacle, the United States did not have any political will to go back in there. We had a fresh president, President Ford, and there's no way we were going to bring that whole thing back up. So what I would refute your argument, gentlemen, is, while Japan and Germany certainly were terrible countries, they did sign a peace treaty, they did abide by the peace treaty. North Vietnam did not. They played us, and they waited for us to withdraw our troops, and they attacked and took over the country. And so essentially 54,000 Americans died for nothing. We have hundreds of maybe a million Vietnam vets. And again, I would welcome a Vietnam vet to call in and refute what I'm saying they don't have a problem with it. I personally, as a student of history and as someone who has my father, a Vietnam-era veteran, I'm offended by that. But I'd be welcome to hear other Vietnam vets that chime in and tell me I'm wrong.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you
so
much.
We'll see if they
do. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. President Trump's summit with the North Korean Kim Jong-un in Hanoi, Vietnam. Irritating, one of our good listeners. We'll take response to that. You can email it to onthemark@wkok.com or Stan, you're a veteran. Start texting. 70236 is
the text
number. We haven't
gotten Stan's others' texts read yet.
Well, go ahead. Regarding Attorney Cohen, start at the top, the very top, and go down.
Okay. He says, were the checks written from the campaign account? If not, how can it be a campaign violation? Trump still was a private citizen and could write checks from his personal account. Sounds like a whole lot of nothing to me. And then he poses the question, is it illegal to write a check? And then we have, you accuse Trump of being a con man, racist, and other things. Please lay out your proof. Has Trump donned blackface? No, but there are Dems in high office that have, along with calling black folks the N-word.
All right. Thank you for those texts. We'll take more. 1-800-795-9565.
Well, you know, I don't have a problem. Again, I understand where Eric's coming from, and he's right. They didn't actually honor the treaty that they signed with us. But you can't go on fighting forever. I mean, people who have been our enemies have been, as you pointed out, our friends today. So isn't that the goal? Isn't our goal to live in peace and harmony with all the other countries of the world and to form trading partnerships with them and so that we all benefit in the end? Isn't that the goal?
Well, and it's almost a Christian value that eventually to the next generation and the next generation hence, we are forgiving and we show grace to other countries, particularly if maybe, say, they've changed some of their ways or done something to reach out to us. We try to be the bigger person globally. We try to be really an example for the whole planet, and the way that we behave sometimes.
Sometimes we fail rather
well,
miserably.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I think you could look at a lot of our behaviors or statements or words and say, well, this isn't ideal or that's not ideal. I don't want to get into that. But
right.
We fancy ourselves sort of the globe's peacemaker or protector. And so that's probably why Vietnam's no longer on our terrible list.
But you know what I really find, what you, Eric, mentioned, what bothers him. What really bothers me is that they deliberately The Democratic leadership deliberately held that hearing yesterday while the President of the United States was out of the country negotiating with a foreign power to try and arrive at a peace settlement. If that had been done to Barack Obama, you know, there would have been hell to pay. People, the Democrats would have been screaming bloody murder, undermining the president.
And what I understand that that's a tradition, correct?
Right, that we have not done that. We don't criticize the president while he's on foreign soil. Now, I don't know whether, you know, the Republicans did that to President Obama. I don't recall it being done. Maybe there's some instance of it, but it seems to me this was a pretty egregious example of doing that.
When President Trump will just spend the rest of his life visiting other countries.
Well, if I
to avoid the constant barrage. I mean, there's so much negative criticism and hearings and indictments and so on to get out. If you take a break, you're going to end up with a backlog. It'll fall behind.
I love what was happening yesterday or the day before on the left-leaning media. People were saying, oh, the president's going to go over there to Vietnam, and he's going to give away the farm just to get some kind of a deal to take the pressure off of him at home.
Mm.
And so he walks away from the deal, and today they're saying, well, he went there. It was a waste of time. He didn't get a deal. So what do they want from the guy?
They want him to walk on water and be better than Barack Obama.
If he walked on water, they would claim something was wrong.
The water was frozen. It was ice at the time. It was a trick. It was done with it. There's a mirror under the surface of the water.
He's a con man.
And other things, they say. All right, we're going to return. We'll keep talking about this. We have an email that relates to the Methodists. We'll be back. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Joe's did a self-fulfilling prophecy predicting that I would yell into the microphone without the mics being on. All right. Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, the show sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out, sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. In the news, the $13 million Duke Street project in the borough of Northumberland is resuming tomorrow. PennDOT tells us a contractor will be excavating the northbound lane of Route 11 North, Water Street, from the railroad underpass toward King Street. And the detour will be in effect for Duke Street beginning Friday. The Route 147 northbound traffic will use Water Street to Orange Street to 3rd Street. Route 147 southbound traffic will use Duke Street to 2nd Street to King Street. Throughout all of that process, they get to drive hopefully quietly past my house. Parking will be restricted to the detour route in the direction of the detour traffic on the right side. A detour will remain in place until the end of June. A truck ban remains in effect. PennDOT says work will continue on the Route 11 railroad underpass as well. Lead levels in the water in Samori Run area school district buildings have returned to normal after elevated levels were found last week. Superintendent Alan Hack tells us that test results received Wednesday afternoon did not show elevated levels of lead in the district's water samples. All running water operations at the school are now back to normal. A nation watched, but did it believe? It's a question that will be played out well after yesterday's congressional testimony by President Trump's former fixer during his time in the House chamber. Michael Cohen described Trump as a racist, con man, and cheater. Broadcast TV networks broke away from regular program for hours to show this testimony. So did the news networks, with CNN and MSNBC commentators noting Cohen's efforts to rehabilitate himself as a man who used to lie for Trump but now wants to redeem himself even as he faces prison. Fox's commentators decried what they saw as an effort to detract from Trump's summit in Vietnam with North Korean leader. That summit ended today with no agreement. So that's what we're talking about right now. What's your opinion about this? Is this a good thing or a bad thing that it happened with? Do you believe attorney Michael Cohen or not? And finally, back in 2011, Donald Trump called for then-President Barack Obama to release his college transcripts from Columbia and Harvard universities. But now it appears the president is opposed to letting his own reports be released. Word of that came during yesterday's congressional testimony by Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Cohen says President Trump told him to threaten legal action against colleges and high schools he attended if they released his school records or standardized test scores. It was among a series of actions Cohen says he did at Trump's behest during his successful campaign for the White House. Cohen told lawmakers and a national TV audience the request to withhold the grades was ironic because he demanded the same thing of President Obama and because Trump is, according to Cohen, a man who declares himself brilliant.
All right. I believe he is.
Oh, you do? You think so? Okay. Well, you got a different standard for brilliance.
It doesn't mean you can't be reprehensible. I think he's a very bright guy.
Oh, okay. A brilliant but reprehensible human being. Okay. Right. All right. Well, it'd be hard to refute
that. There'd be a lot of brilliant people who are pretty miserable human beings.
Okay. Yourself included. All right.
Oh. Boy, that cuts to the quick.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or do us as even Stan hasn't done lately. Text us at 70236. Feel free to send us a note. One of our listeners says writing checks to women he had affairs with is beside the point. Mr. Trump's been doing that for many years. The thing that upsets me about his attorney, Michael Cohen, that he had to lie to the First Lady. Remember, while he was cavorting with Stormy Daniels, Melania was home with her newborn son. I guess boys will be boys.
Okay.
So they're more concerned about Melania through all of this. Well, yeah, this has to be an embarrassment. You know, she by all accounts is a pretty decent human being and puts up with all of this.
As opposed to Hillary, who's not a decent human being, who had to put up with it from Bill. Is that what you're saying?
That cuts to that. Jeez. I think a lot of people disagree with Hillary on a lot of topics, but indecent human being, not a decent human being? You think that's not
I'm saying
too harsh?
Many people believe that.
Oh, okay. But
I'm not saying it personally. I'm just saying that many people subscribe to the fact that she's not exactly a paragon of virtue.
Deft save. Nicely done, sir. Thank you. Okay. We got other emails that relate to the Methodists. This is subject line is Methodist. If you don't remember, in St. Louis, Missouri this week, a conference of Methodist leadership voted to keep doing what they're doing, and that is to not allow gays to be married in the Methodist Church, or by Methodist clergy, and
while welcoming them into the church,
right?
So.
Yeah, the doors are open. You just can't get married there, and you can't become clergy or perhaps other elements of church leadership.
Well, that applies to the rest of the LGBT community as well, right?
Right. We have Pastor Young from Beaver United Methodist Church calling us tomorrow at 9:30 on this topic.
Okay.
But the emailer writes today.
Duffy says, "I was always told that when it comes to any sin, as explained in Scripture, there is no demilitarized zone." Yes, God's grace wants us to love our neighbors unconditionally, but we can hope that those we love will confess and ask for forgiveness right up to the last moment of life. All this controversy is a contrived, created experiment by media to attack social issues that they want changed. We see it in abortion, immigration, racism, homosexuality. They have created buffet Christians that pick and choose parts of the Bible to support a belief. Duffy has a point.
Which part?
The last part in particular, that we've created a buffet Christians that pick and choose parts of the Bible that support a belief. You have people who take the Old Testament and say, okay, the Old Testament says we should be stoning homosexuals. And the New Testament, while Christ doesn't directly refer to the issue, he was loving and inclusive. He surrounded himself with less than the elite of society, Mary Magdalene and others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't seek out only the creme de la creme of society. He took all comers. If they believed and they followed, they were welcome.
Okay.
Or am I wrong on that?
That is fine. I'm just thinking how it relates to the Methodists, but I guess it is human nature to sort of want to be who you really are, you know, even if it conflicts with your traditional religion that says, well, if you are gay or lesbian or you know that you are transgender, that if you know that to be true and you exist and you've come to recognize it and you know it to be true, but you still want to be part of a religion, but the religion says, no, that is sinful. So I think for a lot of years, people probably denied these aspects of themselves or kept it under wraps. But now that they're the same people they've always been over the centuries, you know, there's been gays and lesbians forever, and who are members of the Methodist Church, but now they're out.
But there are churches that believe if you don't believe as they do, you're going to hell. I think at one point my own church believed that. You know, so what's the difference? Every church has its own criteria for membership, its own belief system. If you don't subscribe to that belief system, why are you a member of that church? I mean, unless you believe that the United Methodists have only one direct, the only one direct path to heaven, then if you
like
don't
you guys do,
like we do, right?
If
that's the case, then why don't you join another church?
I think that
one
is
one that's more closely aligned with your beliefs.
Right. Well, you asked that yesterday. That's the quitter's view. But most people who strongly feel about a religion aren't quitters. They don't just quit because the church doesn't accept something that they are starting to believe or have come to believe. Most people stay and fight. You know, if everybody quit.
To what end?
If everybody did what you did, everybody in the United States would live in Canada because most of the Republicans agreed with President Obama did. So they would have quit and gone to Canada.
But Mark, to what end?
Why do we stay Americans and stay here in our Methodist church?
Why do we try to change an institution that's been around for so many years and it's there? You know, it's like the Boy Scout, Girl Scout
beliefs.
Thing again. The Girl Scouts, you know, the Boy Scouts start letting in girls, so they're not really the Boy Scouts anymore.
Well, I think you will see an exodus from the churches, not necessarily a mass exodus, but you'll see, you know, a percentage. X percentage, just as the Lutheran Church, when they agreed that marriages could take place between men and men and women and women in the churches, some people left the church and formed, either joined other existing, more conservative Lutheran congregations or churches. Some of them started up new congregations. I believe it's the American Lutheran Church is a new, I think it's new, I may not be right, but more conservative Lutheranism.
So you have another group of people that go to a church, and they believe that driving 20 miles above the speed limit is no problem, and so they break off and form their own church. If a church was founded on biblical, scriptural interpretations that still hold the test today, then why change them? The Bible didn't change. Faith doesn't change. You know, our view of certain things change. But, you know, no one came back and rewrote the Bible to say this stuff is all okay or it's all bad. You know, so it is
so
what it
what
is.
What has changed? Right. We're more aware of who we really are as humans, as sinners, as homosexuals, whatever it happens to be. I think we're more in touch with who we really are. Lawrence's worthless observation in answer to your question.
Who are we?
But we can ask our audience to give us the right answer. Folks, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Joe's asking a very timely question. What has changed if the Methodist Church was acceptable for millions of individuals in the U.S.? I'm not sure how long.
And foreign countries.
Or, you know, for a long. We have most Methodists are in another country. I found that
in Africa,
interesting.
Large lumber in Africa.
Okay. But 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. What has changed over the year? Are we just being taken over by Satan and he says it's okay to be gay? Or are humans changing? Or are we trying to become more accepting in the church? Duffy asks a good question, too. All this controversy is a contrived, created experiment by the media, that this is all done by the media. For example, how many of the St. Louis Methodist conferences have you heard about in the past?
None.
Zero.
Well, actually, the last one, because this was a special one called just to deal with this issue.
Okay.
The last general conference they had devolved into some, this issue started taking up a lot of the time, and they decided to postpone it then and have another conclave later on just to deal with it, which is what this was.
All right. Well, one of our good listeners says, despite all of that organization and effort, it's actually a created experiment by the media to attack the social issues. They want change. So do you think that's true? Was this conference set up by the media and this argument promulgated by the media? We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I got two emails, or one email and a text that relates to the controversy related to Attorney Cohen and President Trump, and somebody mentioned Hillary Clinton in there, so there's one of the topics. We have one email that relates to communion in the Catholic Church, which which we can read that. But we'll take more calls. We really want folks to call us on this topic. Joe and I could argue about this literally for days. So 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Join us now. What has changed in humanity that suddenly it's okay to be in a church where in the past you had to suppress that? You could not express that and the church would not accept it. What has changed that now many, many churches accept gays as they are and allow them to be ordained as leadership? What has happened? A media experiment, says Duffy. There may be more to it. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. What has changed? Have you changed?
Hometown pharmacies. Every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live telephone talk show. On the subject of Hillary, the text reads from top to bottom.
Says, not to worry, Joe, I'll say it. Hillary is not a decent human being. Remember what difference did it make after the fact that her and Obama didn't send help to Benghazi, where four Americans died, and they blamed the attack on a YouTube video.
All right, we're talking about the Methodists now. We are talking about the fact that the Methodists General Conference this week voted to, or special conference voted this week, not to allow gay
couples. They voted to maintain their traditional plan.
Right. They voted
no
not
change.
To allow
they voted
individuals.
Not to change.
Right. They voted status quo. The traditional plan, as they called it. Eric is a Methodist and is glad to call back. Thank you, sir. We're glad you're checking in again.
Yeah, I don't want to dominate this discussion, but I feel I need to try to add some clarity to what you gentlemen are saying today. Yes, this gathering at the United Methodist Church was pointedly to discuss the parts of our discipline which do discuss the qualifications for who can and cannot become a ordained minister or what we call an elder in our church. I want to emphasize this one point. Ordination is a higher calling. We have thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of leaders. We have leaders in each one of our individual churches because our churches have a lot of autonomy on our decisions on how we spend money, how we do our outreach, our nurturing, our services, times, that type of thing. But our pastors are ordained. They're called to a higher authority and the higher qualifications than our regular church leaders. And then, so they're considered elders of the church. Those elders then can then get into higher authority where they become district superintendents, and the very few are called then to become bishops. But the whole United Methodist Church is still under the authority of our voting members, and of that, almost a little over 1,000 folks who were there, only perhaps 100 were these bishops. Everyone else was elected representations of local churches. Okay, what we did in our general conference, and this was a special, the conference meets every 4 years and internationally and brings all the churches together from around the world into a place. And it's true that we do have, I'm not sure quite a majority, but we do have a lot of United Methodists who are in third world countries and Europe and around the world. There's a great number of United Methodists who are outside the United States. What we did and met, and what was affirmed was, and it was brought to the table, do we want to change the discipline in the aspects which deal with the performance of a marriage outside of between one man and one woman? Or do we want to also look at what we require for our members to become ordained and become this higher authority within the church? And as a result of 3 days of prayer, discussion, and I watch a lot of this live. We actually stream live. You can watch this whole thing live on the internet.
And a vote that wasn't close. And a vote that wasn't close.
The vote itself finally was close. It was 53 something percent to 46 something percent. What they thought was going to happen, perhaps, was the way forward was to allow each individual conference, okay, and that's the subdivisions we have across the United States, to vote whether to ordain people who are LGBT community, and also to allow that marriage, and that was voted down. As was the point to say we were going to become more liberal and say that the we will remove those aspects of forbidding these practices totally out of discipline. And they only put in the discipline back in the early 60s because, gentlemen, before that time, it was assumed that this was not in God's plan. Okay, but we're addressing it. The United Methodist Church has been affirming and addressing this.
All right, we got it.
And we have spoken. But again, this has not changed anything about what has changed. Nothing has changed in the United Methodist Church. What happened was, over the last several years, we have had some of our pastors at the local level, and as far as I know, one bishop at a higher level, be in open defiance of these small but distinct parts of our discipline.
All right,
and
we got
in some
you.
Conferences, the discipline was enforced, and we know here in Pennsylvania that there was a pastor somewhere down in South Central Pennsylvania was removed after performing a gay ceremony for, I believe, his son and his partner.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
There were others who were not removed in other jurisdictions. And what the meeting was to do was to reaffirm that the discipline is a discipline, and we agree that we're going to enforce the discipline and going forward. So we have a very firm basis and a reaffirmation of what we believed for longest period of time.
All right,
okay,
we got you. Thank you so much.
You know, I think that Abraham Lincoln's words, which he quoted from the Bible, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I agree with them not, you know, saying, okay, it's okay for you to be a United Methodist over here and do one thing, and over here you're a United Methodist and do another. If you ought to be all one thing or all the other. Seems reasonable to me.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Dick, your next caller. Thank you for waiting. You are on the mark.
Well, I was coming up the road, and I was heard you talking about Duffy's letter or Duffy's email. I guess it was Duffy's email, and it got me thinking again. I hate to keep bringing this up again because, you know, you have three or four or five or two or one of your callers that are pretty, but they profess to be pretty religious, and I hear them all the time. But yet they give Trump a pass on violations of several of the Ten Commandments. And I guess my point to them would be, or to anybody would be, and I know they didn't elect a minister in chief. That's I'm paraphrasing what they kind of say about him being there. But is there anything that he could do of violating another commandment? Let's say anything that they would not be in favor of him doing, I guess is my point. In other words, they're fine with violating 2, 7, 9. They don't care. They just let it go. I guess my point being is that the parts of the, they just pick and choose parts of the Bible. If he violates them, they don't really care. I guess that's my point.
Well, I suspect if he put an idol, a graven image, in the front of the White House and went out and worshipped it every day, the evangelicals would become upset about that.
Well, I think he did build lots of golden things in his own house. Maybe he's his own God. I'm just telling you what I might think. I don't tell you that's necessarily what I believe, but maybe to him he's his own God. But I guess my point being, is it okay to violate, let's say, three of the Ten Commandments, and I'll give you a pass on those three. Is there any that he could violate that they'd say, I can't tolerate that any longer? I guess that's my point.
I would think, in answer to your question, there probably are. But it would probably be a line that each individual member of that faith or a person who believes that faith would draw for himself.
I mean, I've heard people say, and they think that God—he's ordained by God to be the president. And I would have thought, well, geez, God's pretty—he's done a lot of wonderful things. And I would have thought, if that was the case, he would have put somebody in there that didn't violate his own commandments. I guess that's my other thing.
Well, do you think God could use a sinner to achieve some greater goal?
Well, I suppose he could. He did, you know. I'm just questioning if there's any limits with some of these people. They get on, and you know, you hear them, and they go on and on and on about religion, and you know, I can tell who they are. You can hear them, and they're not like TV preachers, but some of them are almost. And I understand that there are a lot of pretty strict fundamentalists, and they're very conservative, and going on and on and on. But then again, they just give Trump a pass, and no matter what he does, he could covet his neighbor's wife or your wife or anybody he wanted to. It doesn't seem to bother him.
Well, the economy's booming.
I'm going to let this go on one more thing. You know how he always went on this thing about he believes that Putin because he told him so. Now he believes Kim didn't know anything about that student over there because he told me so emphatically. That's always his big line. Emphatically, he told me emphatically, you know. You know the student that died over in Korea, and they went and got his body.
Right.
He said he believes Kim didn't even know anything about that. He said that. I can't even hardly believe that. Yet he murdered his own sister.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he said
Kim,
he wouldn't
Kim
do something
not,
like that.
Kim is not the a paragon of virtue either. No,
are you? No, that's my point. My point is, but since he told him in this trip to Vietnam that he didn't know anything about that,
and he believes
he told
him.
Me he didn't know, so I believe him.
Right.
You know, it just struck me as odd, you know, for somebody that would kill their own family members, and then he wouldn't kill somebody else because he wouldn't do something like that.
He believes President Putin, too.
Wait, that was my point. He tells me emphatically he didn't do this. I believe, and I believe him. You know.
All right, we got you, Dick. Thank you so much for calling in.
Bye,
appreciate
bye.
That. Harry, you're next up. The top. We're allowed to talk religion in public these days, so go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm kind of, I think it's interesting that because you're a person of faith, you have to automatically be the, like the previous caller there. One, I think you have to put the pipe, step away from the pipe. But two,
You have to separate what from what?
He has to step away from the pipe. He has to put the crack pipe down. But anyway, he...
crack pipe. Oh, okay. In other words, you have to be reasonable.
Yeah, the fallacy is, I can say that when I vote for somebody, I look at stances they have on things, especially morally and faith-based, as much as possible. But if I'm only going to vote for somebody who's morally pure, it's going to take no time at all to vote, because there isn't going to be anybody to vote for. And it's not up to me or up to any of us to be the standard bearer to judge who is a moral and moral and not a moral person. But if I choose to live my life a certain way and feel that it's my moral obligation to be moral for me, why is that such a bad thing?
No, that's a good point. Why is it? What's the answer?
You know, and I don't know. And I mean, you look now, I am sure with this, what was this church, United Methodist now, I'm sure there will be another branch of that, because throughout history, whenever somebody's upset with a ruling or an edict by a church, they start a new church. I mean, recently you've had even in the Catholic Church now, you have the American Catholic Church. They're upset by stuff that came out of Rome, so they started their own little splinter group. It goes all the way back to when Martin Luther was a monk and decided he didn't like teachings, and he started his church. I mean, throughout history it's happened. Just because you don't like that. So this isn't a new phenomenon. I just think it's brought up more, but it's not a new phenomenon.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a good thing when people go off and start their own church. I think if you feel strongly about a certain belief, I think you should do so. There's an American Lutheran church now. I don't know how long it has been in existence, but it has been in existence for decades. I do know that. I mean, but it's more conservative, and a lot of Lutherans left the ELCA and went to that or went to Missouri Synod churches. There only used to be one or two east of, Missouri, but now there's quite a few, so people join, and that's a more conservative group of Lutherans. So a lot of people left the Lutheran church. Whole churches left the Lutheran church. You know, there were, in this particular region, there used to be 150, I'm making up a number, and now there's 140 because X number left.
But the problem with it is so many times these groups start because what they want as a law or as rules isn't necessarily what is taught biblically or scripturally, and that's wrong. If it's only because it's going to be what makes you feel good and not what is along with the faith and what is God's law rather than man's law, then that's ridiculous. That's not a reason to start something new.
Well,
that's for your self-gratification, not for self. That's not for fulfilling your spirit. That's for self-gratification.
Well, but people feel differently about that. You know, they feel a real calling to be in a church where everybody is welcome. Everybody's welcome to be married to whomever they want. Everybody is welcome to be ordained if they happen to be gay.
But what's it based on?
That's not based on any kind of law. That's based on a choice or a personal feeling. It's not necessarily anything that is, to lump that in with faith or with morality. No, that's a personal.
You think being gay is a feeling?
It's a personal preference. You're not born that way.
I see. So you think you could just reject that preference? It's just you feel like you're gay, and so you are. Is that what you think, Carrie?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
I think it's like any other obsession, or not obsession. That's not the word. But I think it's like any.
Well, I don't live it, but I can tell you that being gay isn't a feeling. It's a real part of your being that is exactly who you are. Just as sure as you are 100% certain that you're heterosexual and you're 100% Catholic, individuals who are gay say they are 100% gay, and that is how their whole being is. And having a feeling. Hold on. I think. I would dismiss it. I wouldn't dismiss it as calling it a feeling. It's like saying that when you feel something, it's wrong. Like if you fell down the steps today and broke your arm, how would you know you broke your arm if it wasn't distended or something? Well, it would feel. You would feel pain. But you say feelings aren't important. So suddenly your arm would swell and so on. But you'd say, well, don't worry about it, folks. It's just I just have this feeling. It's just pain that I have. It's only a feeling. And I think it's much, much more than just a feeling.
But some people take the biblical, if you will, definition of what homosexuality is with respect to right and wrong, and they accept that. Other people don't. Both are valid points, aren't they?
I believe so, yes. Harry, go right ahead. You can wrap up.
Yeah, I didn't say the feelings weren't important. What I said was, that is not the way we are born, so therefore it becomes a choice.
Well,
that's it.
My feeling is you're mistaken.
I believe people have that feeling and live it that way, just like you said about being 100% heterosexual. I believe people have that, but it is not something that we are born with. It becomes a way that we embrace, which you accept in yourself. And I'm not here to be the moral judge of who's that they should or should not do that. I don't believe they should, but that's not up to me to regulate and to legislate that for somebody. But I also don't feel it's up to somebody to regulate, legislate that I must always accept that as the right way to live too. And I treat everybody the way they treat me, and I try to treat people with respect, but I expect that in return.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Harry. Well said. Appreciate the call. We'll take a quick break, but we'll take more comers. We are talking about the Methodist Conference vote this week that asked them to consider with what they call the traditional plan, and they did vote to continue that. So that was the vote. It was 438 to 384, as one of our good listeners said. That's 54% to 46%.
And they would call that a landslide in a presidential
election. Well, yeah, I was going to say, he said it's actually a close vote. I don't think it really is a close vote when you're talking about hundreds of people, but that's just, again, they call it Lawrence's wisdom for a reason. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Please join us in the remaining 20 minutes of the show. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and Stan has no feelings either way about anything the Methodists do, and so he has not texted us lately at 70236. Welcome back to the KOK Live telephone talk show, Ask and Ye Shall Receive. I believe that's a biblical, that's New Testament. We have four callers. That means 3 minutes each. We'll start out with Kathy. Good morning, Kathy. You're on the mark.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be very brief. I was hearing the gentleman speak. I don't know if he attended the Methodist conference or if he just, but he knew very much about the attendees, and I was just thinking it's unfortunate. He seemed to know so much about who attended and the hierarchy of how they were selected and who attended and whatever, and I just feel that maybe it was unfortunate that they didn't plan on asking the Holy Ghost to attend.
Oh, I'm sure that it was a very prayerful meeting, and I'm sure they asked that throughout and all the time. In fact, I know when the Lutherans have some assemblies, we start out with a prayer, but we don't say amen until the end of the whole conference, so that the whole thing becomes a prayerful exercise.
Well, out of curiosity, Kathy, if you believe the Holy Ghost wasn't there, what do you think would have happened were he there?
Well, I think had the Holy Ghost been in attendance, perhaps they would have recalled that when Christ sent his disciples forward, they were sent forward to make people, the disciples were to become disciples of followers, not to be disciples to build churches of brick and mortar. The church, we are the church. We are Christ's church. We, the people. So the churches that were built, Christ didn't ask us to build churches. We, men, have built churches. We have become denominations, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Catholics, what have you. And we have established our rules and our laws. I don't remember Jesus ever writing down that we are to do this and such. So therefore, I believe if the Holy Ghost was truly present, I think that this vote perhaps would have been different. And truly, I think that I think people would have been touched differently. And I really don't have much more to say than that.
All right.
I think my 3 minutes is probably up.
Yep, it is.
Hey, thank you very much for calling, Kathy. Call again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye.
Al, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Did you say Al?
Yep.
Hi. Well, I don't want to comment on that. I called about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Old Testament was, I guess, in well known amongst the Jews and the scholars, and that was, you know, a lesson to be learned. And then John used to pray, "Take this away from me." Now, I'm not sure if it was John, an apostle of Jesus, or I don't think it was John the Baptist, but he lived alone in the desert. John the used to pray, "Take this thing away from me," and it never really said what it was, but a lot of theologists thought it was his intent and his corrupt thoughts of, "I'd like to lay with a man, I'd like to do this with a man, I'd like to do that with a man," and we never really understood exactly what he was talking about, but that was surmised at one time. And he would get that knowledge from knowing the Old Testament. And that's what our faith is built on, is the Bible. And yes, we are the church. We are a perfect temple, and our body should be treated that way. And it is true that they are just brick and mortar, but we are all designed to be perfect and turn into saints someday and have eternal life. And, you know, you don't want to pick. But it's coming down to where it sounds like we're getting the morals and the immorals. And I thought I'd never say that, but they're showing their cards. And if people don't want to open their eyes, they won't see it. But they're showing their cards.
I think that's probably been true in every generation.
Oh, yeah, and we don't do anything new. I mean, every lesson is there. I mean, they said, go find a couple nice guys in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'll save the city. Somebody was bargaining with the Lord. The Lord is forgiving, but he does anger. And there will be, you know, what they call it, hell to pay. There will be hell to pay.
That's why they call it that.
You know, that's just a simple man's faith.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Al. Appreciate that. Next caller would be Joseph is on the mark. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mark. Yes, I'd like to comment on that. Of course, the Savior did give commands of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. I remember Yahshua saying to the woman that was caught in adultery, go and do that no more. Don't commit that sin anymore. And what the gentleman was talking about, Sodom and Gomorrah, Yahshua also proclaimed in Luke that the days of his second coming would be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot in Sodom. When all those homosexual queers gathered around the house and wanted to have sex with the two angels or messengers that came to visit Lot, and of course they were smitten with blindness, and Yahweh rained fire down from heaven and killed them all in Sodom, and not only in Sodom, but in the surrounding cities of Sodom also.
So why do you suppose he doesn't
Peter
do that
says,
today?
In the book of Peter, he says that was an example for us to pay attention. And so we're living in the last days when this should not even be a topic for the assembly or the church to speak about. I mean, it's ridiculous. Homosexuality is condemned, as well as adultery and murder and all these things are condemned in the scriptures.
All right, Joseph, hold on one second.
It's an act that's totally against
or
nature.
Not.
It's well, you got to go back to the beginning when Yahshua the Messiah said he created them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Not male and male, or female and female. And so why would the church even embrace to discuss such a thing? It should have been thrown out before it was even brought up as a topic. And that's the problem. The churches are so corrupt and so far away from the Almighty that this judgment is coming upon them. And you see it in the Catholic Church and her daughters, Protestantism. They're so-called, I'll say, so-called Protestantism. They are not Protestants. Protestant got its word from protester. They were protesters against Catholicism and the false doctrines that the great whore of Babylon brought in. And she's called the mother of harlots in the Revelation chapter 17, verse 5.
And who is this?
It's written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So she has daughters, and the daughters are her Protestants that come out of her, but now have not forsaken her pernicious ways and her pernicious doctrines, such as Good Friday and Easter and Christmas, and forsaking the name, the Sabbath, the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the Pope changed that. He changed Passover from Passover to Good Friday, and 2 days and one night. You can't get 3 days and from three nights from what they call Good Friday sunset to before sunrise on what they call Easter Sunday. That's only two nights and one day. That's just one of her abominations that all Christendom, her daughters, follow. And it's an abomination, and Yahweh says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and receive not of her plague. So she's going to be plagued, and if you don't come out and forsake these heathen things that have brought in from Babylon, you're going to be partaker with her of them plagues. And so homosexuality is just one thing. One issue, but there are so many others, you know.
So the Great Whore of Babylon is the Catholic Church?
Yes, sir. She's the mother.
She's
the daughter
mother
of Protestantism.
No. And at which church do you worship if people want to hear the scripture in this way?
Well, if they want to come here, I teach them the truth. I don't worship in any churches. I go visit churches and teach these truths to come out of Babylon and give them the call to come out of Babylon, but I cannot be a member with them in their pernicious and false doctrines. And it's just a call to come out of Babylon. A little like what they call John the Baptist. His name, of course, was Yohanan. He called to the church of his day to separate themselves,
all right,
to
Joseph.
Repent. He wasn't part of the church organization. And you cannot be part of it because if you're in the church, you can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak.
All right, last question. Is there any church that's in lockstep with the scripture as you describe it?
I would say those who, I'll just give you the scripture. It says, here are they that, in Revelation chapter 14, it says, here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua Messiah. Those are the ones that are going to not receive the mark, the name, the number of the beast. Read Revelation 14.
All
the
right.
Mark of the beast is just around the corner. So
but I meant locally, not in the scripture.
That's
okay.
Catholicism, writing okay. The whore is upon the beast, Revelation 17.
The whore is
all right,
upon
we
the
got
beast.
It. Thank you so much, Joseph. Really appreciate
okay, so
the call.
The Catholic Church is the Great Whore of Babylon. I wasn't aware of that.
All right.
Were you?
Negative.
Well, you're
that.
One of the daughters.
On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since the 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more at sunburymotors.com. I want to talk to you about the Quick Lane. I've been there a half a dozen times at least with our vehicles here in my vehicle. It's on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That is where they do specialize in all types of service on all types of vehicles. Anything with 4 wheels, 6 wheels, 8 wheels, 18 wheels, you name it. Doesn't matter what kind of vehicle it is, they can fix it at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They also do state inspections. They'll do as they've done for me, pump me up with nitrogen, and they'll make sure that your tires last longer, have less seasonal tire pressure change, and run cooler in the summer. That's all good for the tires. And that's the Quick Lane. It's a unique facility. You can make an appointment, or you can just drop off your vehicle anytime, or you can wait while it's being worked on Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., sunburymotors.com, the website to find out more. Paul, we're talking religion, but it's okay today. We are allowed to talk religion today, so go right ahead. You got 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I hate to disappoint the guy that said that you're not born this way, because medical science now has found that the reason that some of these people are the way they are is because of a gene transplant, and it's either in the sperm of the male or it is in the egg of the female. And if they can find out which one of the genes that is dominating, then creating a masculine outlook with a female body, then all they have to do is to reverse the process and make that individual whole. But right now, you guys are looking for an outside mysterious cure, and it is man himself that is doing this. So all you have to do is hope that science will repeal the actions that causes all these people to be gay or lesbians.
All right. Well said. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. That puts Dale on the phone. Go ahead. We are talking about religion.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is, well, religion is you're believing in the wrong thing and they're forcing you to believe in something else. So the whole thing is they're forcing you to believe in our lawyers, because here's the whole thing. Marijuana, prostitution, okay, and the split screen yesterday, okay, they want to divert you and they want to make money for themselves, because they're going to make legalized prostitution now in Nevada and legalize the marijuana. Well,
it's already legal in some counties. It's already legal in Nevada.
There is no tax windfall on that, because if the lawyers invest in it, it happens. So same thing with marijuana. They're investing in marijuana license, and they're getting 95% of the licenses. Okay, same thing with prostitution. They're going to invest in a license on that. They'll be 95% owners on that. So they're going to be poisoning your children with drugs, and they're going to be selling your grandkids. And you guys are all going to be voting for them still.
All right.
So if you can't, does anyone there reject what I'm saying?
Nope. We got it. We agreed. Chris, last caller. Go right ahead.
You're all abominations now, I guess, huh?
Apparently so, yep.
Yeah, apparently so. I thought, judge not, lest you be judged. And I thought Sodom and the lesson of the prostitute was that if you have sin, you shouldn't be judging. And everybody has sin. But you can read it different ways somehow, I guess. And then that's interpretation, which is what the Bible's about. It has to be interpreted by man, by humans, and it was written by humans. Get over this holy stuff. Anyway, Hillary did not say about the four people dying, what difference does it make now? She was talking about the reports of how the accuracy in the 48 hours after the attack, what difference does it make now how they died? We've investigated it. We've come to conclusions. We've done things to change it in the future. Not that four people died.
What difference does it make? Right.
Yeah,
we gotcha.
That
okay.
Wasn't about that.
Right. We all remember that testimony.
That way all the time. It's totally out of context.
Right.
I think Joe knows what the check was for and why it was illegal. First of all, they were using it from Trump business money to make it tax deductible, because it was payments to lawyers when it was really a payoff hush money, which is really a campaign contribution. When it was done through the ones that were done through the magazine, the Inquirer people, makes it an illegal campaign contribution. It makes it tax fraud.
Okay. I was asking him to repeat it because he launched into a very lengthy denunciation without specifying what it was. Well, yeah, but it's not my place. It's not my place. It's not my place to tell the caller what he believes.
Feigning ignorance is what was going on. Testing the listener, the caller.
Not really. I just thought he ought to explain himself so we understood what he was talking about.
Yeah, but you could have explained it, couldn't you?
Not whether he wouldn't stop talking. I couldn't.
He just stopped talking.
I had that same problem with you, Chris.
Oh, his phone died. Isn't that funny? It's still listed
That's
as active.
The ultimate irony.
Maybe he'll come back.
Sorry about that, Chris. I didn't mean to.
We didn't touch anything.
Maybe he was offended and hung up.
No, he's still connected. The phone's still listed as connected.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not there anymore.
All right. We thank all of our good callers.
One of our writers says, I will go to church on Sunday if I want to be preached at. Please cut off the over-the-top evangelist callers. If they want to spew anti-gay rhetoric, there are an abundance of hate-filled websites where they can feed their ignorance.
All right. Another listener says,
After listening to Joseph's descriptions, I truly remember why I question the existence of God.
All right. Thank you so much, Margaret. Appreciate the email. We appreciate everybody's participation. Tomorrow, Ted Deptula of PennDOT talking about the Norrie Project. Then Reverend Young from the Beaver United Methodist Church. This is WDKOK Sunbury.